Let's see you back to it, but welcome in. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. TJ Henning is a surgeon. He's phenomenal. And he's got a new do. Well, an updated do. We'll give you a TJ Henning haircut update because you love it. Okay, an abbreviated Thursday of Hail Varsity Radio. Thanks to the Salt Dogs for that thrilling finish and win. Coming up, we will catch up with Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg Smith of Gregathan Smith will give us a big old recruiting update in hour two. And we're supposed to catch up with Cedric Golden today, Austin American Statesman. We did talk to Cedric. You'll hear from him tomorrow on the arm wrestling match that is Texas and LSU satellite camp recruiting. Want to join us? Can do so. And tap the line with Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. We get some U.S. Open updates. What an interesting day one with that. And, of course, what you care about and are excited about, your chance to be the envy of your neighborhood, and control that Father's Day gift yourself with the Smoking Hot Dad promotion. Your chance tomorrow to win the second Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker with Hail Varsity and ESPN. Chances for you to qualify this hour and a chance to qualify next hour, plus the Leon's Gourmet Grocer gift card of $250 and the gift basket from Leon's that includes spices, rubs, wood chips, wood planks, and a steak certificate. Your chance this hour to listen for that cue to call. Your chance next hour with that. Also, your chance to qualify and win a six-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. It'll be busy. As always on HailVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience when it comes to Friday Night Lights, recruiting camp coverage, and the info, and of course that big decision with Mr. Moore this weekend. So you want to be part of that with HailVarsity.com. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Well, let's talk about some guys that aren't replaceable. The indispensable lists are out between Lincoln and Omaha and the respective newspapers. And TJ and I put our heads together. And what I wanted to do was give me five. And I know there's 11 on offense, 11 on defense. And you got your special teams guys. But I wanted to break down and have this chat. When you think about who you can't lose for Nebraska football in 2017, there's some names, and I know the Journal Star is doing their countdown, but I've kind of done my own countdown and narrowed it to five on defense, five on offense, and then a top five. It's not quite Letterman, the home office of Wahoo back in the day, but it's the Hail Varsity version of the final five. Tej, you don't have a mustache, but if you did, you would have been twirling it as you thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
I would look even more creepy if I had the stash going. Listen, there is a lot of unknown, a lot of hope, and a lot of hype all in one jambalaya bin for Nebraska football 2017. And it hinges, I think, on a kid from Louisiana, two of them. It also hinges on this defense and the understanding and execution. Can you play fast and do your job? We'll talk to Vogues about stereotypes of conferences here next hour. There's going to be a lot of tackling that needs to happen. And because things are new, you may have some more one-on-one tackling. Maybe not by design, but by reality, because guys are still trying to figure out where they're going. And the countdown for me, when I look at guys that you just can't not have next year for Nebraska football, let's start defensively. It begins with Carlos Davis to me at number five. Why do I think Davis is in this top five? very simple. He showed flashes. He's talented. He's athletic. He's a wrestler. He's an evil twin, and I mean that in a good way, on the defensive line. He is a dude that is athletic and strong and can give you some pass rush. We talked last week about where's Nebraska going to get after the quarterback. Well, Carlos is one of the guys that can do that from his defensive end spot in this 3-4. He's a guy that'll need to set the edge, be good against the run, but ultimately be a beast, get after the quarterback so you don't have to send or get predictable with what you're going to send as a fourth pass rusher. Get home. Get home with Carlos. And he's number five for me just because of his versatility, the amount of time he got last year, and how he's being coached up. Trust that 1,000%. So Carlos is number five. Josh Kalu, when I think of guys that you can't not have. Kalu's a senior. Kalu's a hybrid. He's versatile. He's going to be a safety for you. He's been your nickel for years. He's physical. He's pretty much your co-MVP of that Indiana game with the number of in-space one-on-one tackles he made. And he's going to be the overseer. And he's up the middle of this 3-4 defense. If you want to gash a defense in the 3-4, a lot of times you can do it up the middle because of the spacing. Natural gaps. And Kalu's a guy that's got to come in, be the defensive quarterback of that secondary, and make it happen in run support, in coverage, and generally just in smoking guys in the slot, doing what he does versatility-wise. My 3-2, I need Weber. He's a senior. He's an Elkhorn kid. He's a really good linebacker when he stays healthy. Again, there's a theme here up the middle in this 3-4. Kalu, Weber are my 3-2, or excuse me, my 4 and my 3. And in it, too, is Chris Jones, because I think he's going to be your emotional leader of this defense. I think he's going to be your vocal guy, even though he's a quiet guy. He is your lead by example. He's been here 4 years. He's got NFL aspirations. He is part of that lockdown identity. And he's very talented. He's extremely talented, and he's going to be the guy everyone looks to because he is your senior. He's your senior standout, him and Kalu. But Jones is a guy that has made plays, and the natural progression is for him to increase his ability and dominance and also his vocalness, how vocal he is on this defense. Number one is Mick Stoltenberg. Most important spot in the 3-4 defense is your nose guard. Can you hold your ground? Can you keep your real estate? Can you shed blockers? Can you stop the run? Can you collapse the pocket? Can you do it with a smile and an angry little glare? And Mick is poised to break out. He is embracing this. He's beefed up. He's the cover man for Hail Varsity Magazine, the yearbook. So there's my five. Not really shocking, maybe shocking in some order, but it's Carlos, it's Kalu, it's Weber, it's Jones, it's Mick. There's my five. When it comes to guys you can't not have, be big next year for Nebraska.
I'm pretty much in agreement with you, except for number five. Nah. I thought about Davis as well, but I decided to go with Freedom just because I think the light is finally going to turn on in his third year playing defensive end after making that switch from tight end.
Okay.
And I just think his upside is just maybe a little higher, but man, I like me some Freedom. Number four, I have Marcus Newby. Number three, I have Stoltenberg because I think it's so key. Somebody, big guy, man, in that 3-4. Two, Kalu, and then the number one overall, you'd probably say highest guy who could be drafted for Nebraska, Chris Jones.
Sure, sure. And just from a schematic standpoint, I think your nose guard's where I go. But when you have Chris Jones in there as your leader, that's important. I love the newbie call because he is, you know, when we left Gifford out too, and I know I have Carlos in there for Freedom. That's more of an upside take on my end of things because Freedom's been good early, but has it followed through for a full season yet? And I know he's been dinged. So I think Carlos could, and maybe that's because of Freedom. Maybe Carlos gets loose a little more because Freedom's getting more and more attention paid to him. Offensively here, the five that you can't not have, Conrad at center. is number five for me. He's a Nebraska kid. He's a walk-on. He has earned his way to not only get major snaps at the tackle spot, but now he's flipped over to center. And that is going to be the anchor spot of that offensive line. He's not the only guy in my final five here offensively that is on here. But Conrad, to me, is going to be that voice. He's going to be that heartbeat. He is the Nebraska kid on the offensive line with a lot of talent. And he's also got guys behind him he has to fend off. So he has to be really, really good to win this job and keep this job. If all of that happens and Conrad is on your line as a Nebraska kid, that is pressure, that is pride, that's what you work for. So for Conrad, he is absolutely huge for me, and he makes my final five on offense. Number four, DeMornay Pearson-Ell, he's a senior. He is likely back to the old DeMornay form, and he has a pass-first quarterback that can make things happen to him in the slot. Maybe he can go deep as well on the outside, the jet sweep game, and then who knows how the offensive line, the running game, and the offense in general will be. You're not telling me you wouldn't take or you hope for a little bit of help in field position or just an outright punt return touchdown from DeMornay early in the year against Oregon like he did a year ago. Flip the momentum of the game. DeMornay is in there. He's a senior. I think he could have an incredible senior season. In at three is Stanley Morgan. Stanley has been big in big games. He cares a ton. And he is a tough matchup to deal with. And he's got, again, a guy that can get the ball to him. Nick Gates is my number two on this list. He's Nebraska's best offensive lineman. He's played now for 2 years, a captain a year ago, and he's a guy that really wants to bounce back, make a statement. It's year two for him at that left tackle spot, so there's some more comfort there. And he has said a lot about leadership. He'll have a chance to carry some of that out. I know I've said Conrad, but I think the Conrad and Gates combo is important. Gates is your best lineman. He needs to be the best, and he is a guy you can't live without next year. We can all in unison guess number one. We'll get to it next. And then our final five between offense and defense. Great to have you on a Thursday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Five guys you gotta have. We're talking about offense, defense. We listed five on offense for Nebraska football, five on defense for Nebraska football, a final five. What we're chatting about here on a Thursday with Hail Varsity Radio, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Guys got to play big, got to play well, and that'll shape the 2017 campaign for Nebraska football. I was left off at number two before Mr. Radio Break happened. Nick Gates was my number two. Number one is Tanner Lee. He's got the most experience. He's won the job. We'll get into the list of graduate transfers that it's littered this year with some really good programs. And Tanner Lee's name is on that list. And there's been an emphasis of leadership, and then some, by Langsdorf, by Coach Riley. And this is the face of your program here on the offensive side, if not the face that kind of comes to your mind is Nebraska football. How's Lee going to do? What's Lee going to be like? Can Lee get the guys the football in stride? So yes, that's the question mark. He is the guy you got to have. He's the guy you can't not have when it comes to the final five for me on offense here. And I think Lee will be fine. Lee will be a good decision maker. Lee will take care of the offense, and when asked to, not forced to, but when asked to, will make some plays that could be a major stepping stone season for Nebraska football. TJ Henning is nodding, going, yeah, Kind of like these five. You have five on offense?
I do as well. My number five, I wanted somebody to represent the running back groups, and I'm going with Tre Bryant, who I think is...
Well, you're wearing his jersey right now, so I mean, it doesn't shock you.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the best overall back we have, blocking, catching out of the backfield, running the ball. I like me some Tre Bryant, so I'm going with him at number five. Number four, exact same spot, I have DPE like you. We need the DPE that can regain his form his first year and what you mentioned on special teams. That guy is so invaluable. Number three, I have Tanner Lee there because at 1 and 2, you're only good as your offensive line. So at 2, Gerald Foster. At 1, Nick Gates.
Really? The left side?
Yep. You need those guys up there to produce for you after the offensive line struggles you had last year, and that will help Tanner Lee.
I love that call, actually, and here's kind of my take on the O-line quarterback trickle-down. There are some things that this guy at quarterback will be able to do that Tommy wasn't able to do, and there are some things that Tommy was able to do that helped the offensive line. I think it'll be different but mm-hmm. still the same when it comes to helping the offensive line. That could be three-step drops. That could be bubble screens. That could be just calming dudes down. It could be playmaking. So that's where I go with Lee. My final five.
Okay.
Offense, defense, special teams combined. This is some good jambalaya here. In at five is Stan the man.
Okay.
Because of his versatility and ability at the wide receiver spot, he is your go-to, even over DeMornay in my mind. Just because in the short 2 years you've had Stanley Morgan Jr. here, he has been incredible in big games. Kind of took over against Wisconsin, helped lead him back against Miami. Those are just two of the flashbulb moments to me. The game saver 73-yarder against Indiana. I mean, Stanley's been huge. The bowl game against some really good NFL talent that didn't play all that together in UCLA in the bowl game. And Stanley was dominant, especially in the red zone on some of those go routes.
Mm-hmm.
So Stanley comes in at number five. Chris Jones is four. As mentioned, his defensive leadership, his ability, the best NFL upside going into this season. Mm-hmm. And he has taken on that leadership role. Gates is three for me because of that left side. And it's not fair to kind of put him and Foster as one, but that's kind of how I see it. They've both been vocal. They both want better leadership. They both want to take the onus there. But I think Gates is, again, your best offensive lineman. Mick at number two, again, because of the importance of that nose guard spot. Coach McBride says it. Coach Perella says it. Coach Diaco has said it. Just what you got to have anchor-wise. Jay Moore has said it at the nose guard spot in this defense for it to work. I mean, think about trying to stop some of these offenses you're going to see with Ohio State, that you're going to see with Oregon, that you're going to see with Northwestern.
Penn State.
Penn freaking State. Okay? Iowa. Just going to put the old hard hat on and bulldoze time.
Mm-hmm.
Think if they're allowed to throw when they want to because they can run all over you. That is scary.
That is.
Okay, think if you have no answer to stop their run game. Because up the middle, Mick's getting triple teamed. And then the inside linebackers are getting smoked. And here come this. Oh, the safeties are hurt now, too, because they've been cracked on. That's frightening.
Yeah, then it's going to be Big 12 scores.
Mm-hmm. One-sided. Tanner Lee stays at number one overall because of the importance of the quarterback in this Riley offense. And the upside of having a very talented and accurate and special passer and manager and decision maker at quarterback in this offense. So there you go. There's my final five. Lee, Mick, Gates, Jones, Stan. Sounds like a sweet band.
That does sound pretty good. Here's my final five. I'm going Mick up in the middle at number five. Need that big man up there. Number four, Gerald Foster. Going to move him down a little bit from the offensive side, but to make him the top five, that's still impressive. Number three, Chris Jones. That guy's got so much talent and needs to produce. Number two, Tanner Lee. And number one, Nick Gates.
Okay. Nick. So you think you're going to see like kind of a road warrior Nick once fall camp starts.
Mm-hmm.
The cool hair is gone and it's mohawk or shaved time.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
Just a little road warrior attitude.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
I'm not going to tell him to go get a haircut.
No.
Can't do it, won't do it. Okay, coming up, we will run down Brandon Vogel, and then Greg Smith of Gregathan Smith going to join us, get his recruiting preview of the weekend for Nebraska. We'll take caller 4 and caller 5 right now. A 6-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience, unparalleled coverage in Nebraska football, recruiting, hoops, baseball, volleyball. You want it, it's there. And in a premium forum for you, plus the message board, you can converse with Nebraska fans all over the world and get caught up with our inside info from the tremendous Hail Varsity staff. Also, reserved content for the online subscribers. And that breaking news you want and you may have to have this weekend from a recruiting standpoint, it'll be all right there for you. HailVarsity.com, a 6-month online subscription for you if you're caller 4. And caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5, right now, a 6-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. Keep listening for that cue to call for the smoker registration, that giveaway tomorrow. Caller 4, caller 5, right now, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5 gets it handled for the online subscription to HailVarsity.com. A quick timeout. Brandon Vogel, Greg Smith, and you. Hail Varsity continues.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Moore will be back next week. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, and you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. About Sauter Heyman, go see Rick and the gang today, tomorrow, this weekend. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. 100% real diamonds, except they're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. And they're eco-friendly, they're beautiful, they're sustainable, and they're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Come see why they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history today. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion Lincoln, around West in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Maybe a birthday or anniversary is coming up for Mama, and it's time to go see Rick and get the wife or girlfriend or both the pure-grown diamonds from Sauter Heyman, the exclusive dealer for Nebraska with Sauter Heyman. Okay, we did our final five. Guys, you just got to have step up and be tremendous next year for Nebraska football. We did 5 on offense, 5 on defense, and 5 together, offense and defense. We'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel. Conference stereotypes. We'll get his thoughts on the naughtiness of Ed Orgeron canceling satellite camps because Texas or Texas A&M is there. Ned's like, I don't have a Cajun accent. Ed just said, get out of here. I'm going to put pressure on you, Hal Mummy, Division III coach, former Kentucky man, godfather of air raid. We're just not going to have the camp because I don't want my kids, my premium kids poached. I don't want that Herman guy coming in saying, why don't you come play football at Texas? Ed won't be there in 2 years. And I'm like, when's the last time Ed Orgeron didn't put his hands up and fight for recruits? That's why he's made millions.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's been hired at USC to recruit and coach. That's why he was at Miami under the Erickson regime. That's why he was at Ole Miss under Houston Nutt. And then I think he was head coach.
Mm-hmm. That's why everybody wanted him here for a brief time.
Yes,
remember that?
Because he can go get anybody.
Yeah.
The whole ice and Eskimos, he's good.
Yeah.
Ketchup and white gloves, he's got it. What else is there? I don't know. But Ed's like, A&M, get out of here. Texas, get out of here. I'm here to protect the state of Louisiana. All right, let's get qualified for that smoker. Caller 9, the Father's Day gift you want this weekend. Caller 9 qualifies. Giveaway tomorrow.
Hey, can one of your weathermen come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking! Smoking is right. Brandon Vogel's tremendous at smoking. He is incredible when it comes to barbecue. He's modest about it. May have to ask him a suggestion or two of what should that first item be. And, of course, Leon's Gourmet is hooking you up along with this smoker. So caller 9, 800-825-5865, 466-3776. Caller 9 qualifies right now with Hail Varsity and ESPN.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat.
We get beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you coming up, Greg Smith, will give us a recruiting rundown this weekend. We welcome in from HailVarsity.com and Magazine, on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel. Brandon Vogel, back with this. Vogue, thanks for a few minutes, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing outstanding. And I got to ask you, how was the dentist?
Oh, not too bad. A little bit unexpected dental work. Thought I was going in for a checkup. Had to do something minor. So apologies for missing out yesterday.
No, I'm not piling on you for missing, but sometimes you go to the dentist and you leave feeling pretty awesome, if you know what I mean.
No, that's sort of a double-edged sword. I mean, it usually means you had to have something serious done. So I'll take this route this time.
Dude, I hate the dentist. When they have to do those dang x-rays, make that, like, I gag every time. I'm so bad on those things. Oh, I hate that. It's the absolute worst. They even wrote in their notebook, this is the worst person we've ever had for this thing.
That was you?
Yeah.
But you went to the same dentist I went to, right?
Yeah, no, I'm at a different one now because okay. I'm an adult and I have to go to a grown-up dentist instead of the kid one. But, yeah, they wrote.
I still go to the kid dentist.
Wow.
I do. I still go see Dr. Goots.
I mean, I still wish I
Who's
did.
Who's the big kid in the chair next to me? Don't worry, Johnny. It's okay. No, it's like I'm gifted that. My mother worked there for so many years. She was awesome.
No, yeah.
This is awesome, but my legs hang off the chair now.
Yeah, I mean, I miss the Disney Channel and the Disney movies up top and the PlayStation in the waiting lobby, but yeah, I thought I should go to adult dentist, and they literally wrote, this is the worst guy we've ever had for this. So, yeah, I hate the dentist.
No, Carson and I go, and they still have my old 89 Donruss baseball cards. I can pick up a pack. It's good. Well, good, Vogues. I'm glad the dentist went okay for you.
Thank you.
So, keeping with the dental theme here, pulling teeth is what conference for you to watch offensively?
That's a good question. It's probably, it might be the Big Ten, although it's not as bad as I was prepared for when Nebraska started conference play there. You kind of get used to it. You get accustomed to it a little bit. I like points, so watching the Big 12 track meets is not a problem for me.
And
the SEC is basically playing the same style. They've just got a little bit better talent level across the board, so I think you don't notice it maybe as much there.
No, and you did a story this afternoon, and I love the title of it, Don't Fence Me In, and it's got Stanley Morgan Jr. stiff-arming a long-haired Wisconsin guy that no doubt probably grabbed his face mask and it wasn't whistled. So there are stereotypes, though, and I'm guilty of it because for years it was Big Ten, cloud of dust, boring football. And we never I'm going to speak for you and stop me if it's wrong, but I never looked at Nebraska's offense 20 years ago as boring because and the option was exciting, and they were big plays, and you were mauling people, and you had high-flying, powerful defenses. So they kind of took away that stereotype, and Colorado was always kind of exciting with their eye bone, and then Switzer in the wishbone, and then you had Leach in the air raid. So the conferences Nebraska had been in, there was enough offense to suit me. Oklahoma State and Barry Sanders back in the day. So the Big 8 / Big 12 was exciting football. And then I got to the Big 10, and I'm like, all right, I had a little bit of a Desmond Howard there for a while, or a Braylon Edwards, and then Pryor got there with some zone read stuff for Ohio State. But for the most part, aside from Robinson and I think Penn State's team in 03, it was, eh, why am I watching this? Drew Brees was cool. But the Big 10's kind of come into their own now, haven't they, from a stylistic standpoint? I mean, they're up there with points, but they're also up there with diversity from a style, aren't they?
Yeah, I would say so, and I think he got a little bit of a boost even this coming season with Brohm. So maybe Purdue can go back to some of those Drew Brees, Joe Tiller days. I'm all for that. You know, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with Ohio State because I do think as the dominant team in the conference, they kind of set the tone a little bit. So adding Urban Meyer and his kind of version of the power spread helped things along a little bit. And then now you put Kevin Wilson in as OC, who kind of really brought a lot of those prototypical spread principles to the Big Ten, at least in terms of passing. And then Indiana became a really good rushing team too. So you have gotten a little bit more diversity of late. You know, you look at the 2015 hires, kind of interesting, and Chris Riley and Harbaugh, in that you know, they're all pro style guys. So that was a little bit back towards, I guess, what we typically expect from the Big Ten.
Yeah, Brandon, you did a great job with this, and I'm going to want to expand on my question, but if you're an NCAA football coach, you're probably not going to want to apply for any defensive coordinator jobs in the Big 12, correct?
No, not unless you got a pretty good understanding from the administration that, like, look, 35 points a game might be pretty good here.
Yeah.
You know, so the story was used solo and assisted tackles just to look at how many solo tackles are these teams making in these conferences. And the Big 12 is, as you'd expect, given how spread heavy it is, far and away above all the other Power 5 conferences. And when you just start to think about that, like, a lot of those solo tackles, they're not running plays. They're the bubble screens. They're, you know, the little plays like that, where if you miss, they can go for 50, 60 yards or even a touchdown. And that's what they're designed to do.
They do it. And I think of the Pac-12 After Dark and Leach and that air raid. But Mike Riley, and I think back to a game that was probably right up there with Northwestern as an impressive and big win for Nebraska. And that was the Minnesota game. And the defense shut out Minnesota in the second half. But Nebraska with Tommy, I mean, they went short passing game. They went bubble screen. They went slot quick throw and just devoured a good defensive solo tackling Minnesota team just because of the natural cushion. And you'd get 5, 6, 7 a pop, and it was 2nd and 2 or 3 all second half. So the short passing game, the space, and getting guys in space is a forte of Riley. It's something that he did at Oregon State. And let's combine the reputation and style of offense with Tanner Lee projection, a little bit that you saw in the spring, and then just what you think his upside consistency level will be if it is Nebraska going with a short passing attack with Lee.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly higher, I think, because that's you remove the run element. You know, Nebraska had some things last year where they would basically run RPOs, not in the totally traditional way you expect, you know, where you see the zone read in the backfield and then a bubble or flare to the other side, but with more kind of traditional, I guess, pro-style passing concepts. And those things worked pretty well. I don't know if you keep those or run them anywhere near as often with Lee, obviously. But if you can consistently complete those out towards the edge of the defense, and you are getting 5 or 7 yards a pop, you know, it works as well as a running game. If you're going to average that much, and it's kind of death by a thousand tiny cuts, but you also add in, you know, if you're getting those on the edge there, you have the opportunity to increase those solo tackles the defense has to make. And if you got some pretty good athletes, and I think Nebraska does at the skill spots, you do have the chance for some more big plays. And that's going to be big for Nebraska. They do need to be more explosive in 2017.
Hey, Brandon, can you tell Husker fans how Bob Diaco's defenses at Notre Dame and Connecticut did on the solo tackle percentage-wise and gang tackling percentage-wise?
Yes, at Notre Dame, very well. Okay. It's one of those kind of hidden trademarks, I think, of his defenses. And, you know, and when he talks about it, he'll talk about the no crease stuff and things like that. So it's really built on one of the ideas built on, I guess, is closing down those lanes, avoiding those scenarios where it's your guy against the other guy and whoever wins. If you can remove that as a defense, you're having some success. So, you know, average for college football in terms of solo tackle percentage is about 58-60% in any given year. Diaco's defenses at Notre Dame were mostly down around the 50-52% range. Connecticut crept higher. You know, you'll don't have the talent he's working with at Notre Dame, obviously. Also had the challenge of running a whole program rather than just one faction of it. So that probably factored in too. But numbers at 50-52%. If you need a visual, it's sort of Iowa. That's where they've been the last 4 years. Mm. You know, and you look at their defense. They've had some guys go in the NFL draft. It's not like they're talentless, but it's not a defense I think that you ever point to in most years and say, well, that's a dude you got to deal with, and that's a dude the way you deal with some SEC defenses, if that makes sense.
No, and the Iowa arrow is really fair, and they may not wow you, but they will stop you. The last 3 years, it seems like, 2 to 3 years, and they're just extremely solid. I mean, they're always kind of top four, top five, and they have been prone to get after the quarterback with some of their defensive guys. And they've done so with four linemen versus having the blitz. That's kind of the image I have of them. And then they're just incredible. They've been really good tacklers. And I think a Josie Jewell is just a really good linebacker that's flowed to the ball and in there with a couple of his mates. And there's nowhere to go because the edge has been sealed. Right? And they just kind of pound on you. So that's really a solid painting there of where it can be. If you're not giving up big plays and you're helping out a defender so he's not on an island, I think it can work pretty well for Nebraska. It's just how quick up to speed can it get. Brandon Vogel's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogel, want to get your thoughts here on the trespassing sign that Orgeron has in the state of Louisiana for all from Texas and beyond. What's your reaction to this? It seems to me, I get it, I'd probably do it, but I'm surprised at who's doing it, and that's Ed Orgeron, because he's been so talented and effective and creative, frankly, at recruiting in his career.
Yeah, you know, so the story that Hal Mumme used, former Kentucky head coach who's now coaching lower division college football, was paranoid, which is kind of an interesting way to put it, because I also do not associate Ed Orgeron with someone who is paranoid very often. You know, I get it from his perspective. It's like, why deal with this if, you know, I can place a couple of calls and potentially not deal with it? But is it really that big of a threat? Which was kind of the way I felt about it when we were having this discussion 2 summers ago about whether this practice should continue. Everyone in the South, of course, was like, no, it shouldn't, because why deal with it if you don't have to? But I still kind of think, how big really is the problem? How many guys is LSU going to lose to SMU if SMU gets to hop over the border and do a satellite camp? Probably not that many.
No, but from a PR standpoint, it makes LSU look childish. Makes them look afraid.
I would totally agree with it. And then, you know, that's part of the upside downside, I guess, weighing you have to do here. Like, even if, you know, this seems somewhat facetious and it'll blow over pretty quickly, like, why have it out there at all? You know, why buy, you know, whether it's actually true, partially true. Some people are going to believe Ed Orgeron is paranoid now, and you know, it's not worth the, I guess, potential for that to prevent four or five satellite camps from happening in your state.
Vogues, we will catch up with you tomorrow for the Friday forecast. You and Clausburn. Clausburn is doing it under a flag of protest. When it comes to how the spelling bee went last week, we will pick our College World Series favorites. Have about 30 seconds here. We are giving away another smoker tomorrow. And this is an electric smoker, the Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker. If you were to draft something to put on this smoker, what is the maiden voyage of meat you're putting on a smoker?
Yeah, if you don't have a ton of experience doing it, it's not rocket science. I don't mean to be that way, but start with baby back ribs. They're basically foolproof. You'll put them on there, and you'll be like, oh, I'm glad to have a smoker now. They'll turn out great.
Thank you. You could have said it's not Schmidt proof. But you did. I appreciate it. Log on, alevarsity.com, and read what Vogues has put up there. Brandon Vogel, great story. Amazing statistics on, plays and teams and conferences, what they do in space and conference stereotypes. Don't fence me in, the name of the story. Also, the hot reads when it comes to quarterbacks. Check it out. Vogues did that right up this morning. alevarsity.com. Vogues, be good, brother. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, safe and sound, back from the dentist. And TJ had a nerve there with you early. Yeah, I go to an adult dentist now, Schmidt. What's your deal? I am who I am. Sorry about that.
Hey, can one of your other men come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking!
Caller 9, right now you qualify. Your last chance today. You can qualify tomorrow. The giveaway in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow for the Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker. The gift card from Leon's Gourmet Grocer and the gift basket from Leon's. Caller 9, 466-3776. Can
you get it? Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Jay Bird will be back next week. Congrats to Caller 9. TJ Henning manning the phones. Greg Smith will join us shortly on recruiting. Big weekend for Nebraska, the Friday Night Light Extravaganza Part 1. I want to remind you about buckling that safety belt. 7 out of 10, too many. The portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. If they've been using their seatbelts, a minimum of 69 alive today. Save more lives. Buckle up in the Click It or Ticket campaign going on. And tickets being written for seatbelt and child restraint violations. So please click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. We welcome in guy who's all over recruiting, all over sports talk with Greg Ethan Smith. Greg Smith at Greg ESPN 1480 joins us. Mr. Greg, how are we, sir?
I am excellent, man. How are you?
Doing well. I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to, I sent you a Twitter message back and announcing that you're coming on, but I had to put a picture with it. And it's got Jordan, it's got Pippen, and it's got Rodman on it, just to rub it in a little bit. And I know how
I was going to ignore that a little bit.
Full disclosure, it's transparency. I'm sorry, I had to just do that. And there'll be some sort of Laker pick responding to me. We'll get into some NBA in a minute, but let's talk recruiting for Nebraska. You follow it, you know it, and the first edition of Friday Night Lights. It's not the skill areas, but more the big men weekend. And what are your initial impressions coming into this? What are your thoughts about, A, some of the guys in Nebraska that's coming in, and B, how do you think the turnout's going to be tomorrow and throughout?
I think the turnout will be pretty good when it comes to the number of kids and when it comes to the amount of fans that will be out there. You know, it's being billed as that one, on the 23rd is going to have all of the big names and the majority of the Nebraska commits. But as I was saying this morning on the show, like, I feel like we get in a situation where people are very hungry for football, right? You're always ready for football. So I feel like there'll be a good amount of fans that come out and check it out. And also, you've got the Fan Fest going on this weekend as well. That's going to start up on Friday too. You'll have free food, you'll have entertainment. They announced that there'll be some former Huskers strolling around too. So they did a nice job. Whoever came up with the link, putting that link between the Friday Night Lights camps and these Fan Fests, I don't think that was any accident at all, because they want to be able to show off the power of the Nebraska fans. But in terms of some of the kids that will be on campus this weekend, I think it's headlined by a 2019 quarterback that recently picked up an offer from Nebraska out of Council Bluffs, Iowa, so just in Nebraska's backyard, and Max Dugan, who's listed as a kind of a dual threat quarterback, but has a good does a good job throwing the football, quick release point as well. He's kind of the headliner. You'd like to maybe see him there with all of the wide receivers that'll be there for the 23rd camp, but he'll be the big time player that'll be in attendance this Friday.
Greg, it's a big weekend for you. June 18th. Joshua Moore makes his decision, your ultimate Greg guy. Any idea where he's leaning, and did you glean anything from the video he put out on Twitter?
You know, he is the number one Greg guy. For those that don't know what the inside joke, I do a list that I put out every once in a while. Kind of a rotating list of guys that I think are the top guys in the class. We ended up affectionately dubbing them Greg guys. Josh Moore is the number one guy still left on the board for me. I think he's going to be a sensational college wide receiver. I think he's a complete package. He's about 6'3", 175, comes from Yoakum, Texas. His final three, Florida State, Texas A&M, and Nebraska. Now, as far as that video goes, there was a lot of – yesterday was a really interesting day, because a lot of people were freaking out because it came out on Twitter from the guy that made the video, because you know, everybody makes a video these days, that it looked like that he had Texas A&M gloves on, and I even noted that he had on maroon socks just to throw a little extra on there. But I don't know that necessarily is something that you can fully jump on board with, because everything that I hear from people that I talk to inside and outside of the program still feel very, very confident that Nebraska will ultimately be the pick. I'd never say never that it's going to be 100% done deal. We still know about the ghost of Jameer Calvin, if it's not too soon to utter that name. So you never say 100%, but I feel really good about Nebraska's chances to land Joshua Moore this Sunday.
Greg, great breakdown on your thoughts with Joshua Moore. Why, in your opinion, does Nebraska get the yes Sunday?
I think that the relationship with Keith Williams ultimately wins the day. It feels like it's no secret that Nebraska has two ace recruiters in their back pocket, Keith Williams and Dante Williams, that are able to relate to guys, able to connect with kids, and able to convince parents as well, which is extremely important along the recruiting process as well, that this is a place that you should feel comfortable sending your kid, which in a lot of cases is what has to happen when you have these high-profile players coming from out of state, and you hear that mentioned so much. You heard it mentioned from Chase Williams, who committed right after the spring game happened this past spring, is that, you know, when I came up to Nebraska, it was a family atmosphere, and my family felt comfortable. Family is always the word that you hear the guys say. You know, I call Keith Williams uncle. Those are the same sorts of things that Joshua Morris had to say about Nebraska and about his relationship with Keith Williams. And ultimately, he believes, like a lot of these kids playing wide receiver around the country believe, that Keith Williams is one of the best, if not the best wide receivers coach in the nation, which also means eventually he will help you get to the NFL, that being almost all of these kids' ultimate goal. So all of that wrapped up into one is why I think that Josh Moore ultimately says yes on Sunday to the Huskers.
How do you think the Huskers feel about their chances with former decommit from Penn State, Chris Bleich?
I think they feel pretty good. I think Nebraska's in the driver's seat right now with Bleich. If you remember, he was committed to Penn State, came and visited for the spring game, and immediately decommitted. That's generally a very good sign for the team. He's a big offensive lineman, about 6'6", 290, the type of offensive tackle that you definitely want to get into your class, especially when looking at this particular class. Going to be 15 to 18 kids in the class. They're not going to be able to take a lot of offensive linemen, which I know who has been kind of a sore spot for a chunk of Husker fans out there, but you have to understand that they have recruited multiple offensive linemen in each of the last few classes that they've been recruiting here. So it's okay that they're taking a little bit smaller number. You hope that they hit on these guys. But I also think that Nebraska is in the driver's seat here. He did recently visit UCLA, went out there, but he did take the trip out there on his own. As his dad has been kind of sick, which has also delayed him being able to get out and visit as many schools as he wanted to, because he initially wanted to make his decision sometime this month, which also was kind of going into the whole thought that Nebraska would have most of this class wrapped up by the end of this month. Looks like he's going to go ahead and delay that a little bit, mostly because his dad is not being able to accompany him on some of these trips because he's been in poor health. But Nebraska is squarely in the mix here, and I would say in the driver's seat to land Chris Blige.
So with Blige, the visit to UCLA was just more of the let's go check it out. Moore's got a good rep. They've put some guys into the league, but ultimately you think it's the camaraderie he feels with some of the kids he's already met, because he's been to Lincoln already, correct?
Yeah, he has, but he has definitely been to Lincoln already. He was here for the spring game. He's also really good friends with Brock Bando, who just came onto the team as well. So those relationships there that he already has established with some guys that are on the team. And like most of these offensive linemen, and you'll hear this a lot, we're talking about offensive linemen, is that Coach Kavanaugh is always a really good positive influence there, because if you know anything about Coach Cav, that's an offensive lineman type of dream right there. Offensive linemen love Coach Cav, so the relationship is always strong there. But you have to think that Nebraska is the leader right now. It just is going to probably take a little bit more time, even though he took that UCLA trip. And hey, listen, a trip out to Westwood is never something that kids are going to not take, right? So that's a good place to go. It's nice to check out. Plus, you want to have a little bit of comparison, considering this is a huge decision in these kids' lives.
Well, scenery's nice, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. That's the way you can put it.
So TJ Henning is wondering about running back TJ Pledger, and was wondering if the retirement of Bob Stoops means at all that Nebraska will be able to flip him from his commitment to Oklahoma back to Nebraska.
Well, here's the thing. Nebraska never gave up on TJ Pledger. Like they stayed in contact with TJ. They were continuing to recruit him. I think that a lot of the feeling around TJ Pledger is Nebraska missed out on a little bit of an opportunity to get him on campus earlier. He was scheduled to actually come out here for the spring game. And if you remember, he was kind of a surprise commit to Oklahoma right before that, and he canceled the spring game visit. So obviously there was a lot of interest there between both Pledger and Nebraska, and it went both ways there. They haven't stopped recruiting him. They're probably going to pick that up, that intensity, now that Bob Stoops has decided to go ahead and step away. And of course, if we're reading the Twitter tea leaves, as we all like to do nowadays, 2017 recruiting world, he did tweet out a little question mark emoji after Bob Stoops retired. So you never know what can end up happening. It is also never a bad thing that he's down at IMG with guys like Buki and other guys that are being recruited heavily by Nebraska, Houston Griffith, among others. So that can definitely help with those guys staying in his ear. But Nebraska will continue to fight to the end to try to flip his commitment.
If memory serves, he and Buki are roomies. So that all that Nebraska gear, I mean, might look appealing. That's all I'm saying. So
it definitely could. And you know, the Nebraska does need, like, all the talk about the running backs is good, because Nebraska does need a high impact running back, and TJ Pledger definitely fits that bill. I just wonder too how much the running backs on the roster and the age of the running backs that are on the roster, because a lot of those guys are coming back even beyond this season, how that affects the running back recruiting as well, because people want to come in and play, especially at the running back spot. There's only so many carries, and if you have multiple guys coming back at that running back spot, it can be a little daunting, but Pledger is a special talent.
Absolutely. Greg Smith, a special talent. Greg Ethan Smith, you catch him in Lincoln here at 9 a.m. And Greg, thanks for giving us some of your recruiting expertise, jumping on and sharing your thoughts. We'll for sure run you down again next week before the second edition of Friday Night Lights. Appreciate your time, my man.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I'm going to go ahead and get these strip steaks on the grill. Thanks a lot, guys.
We will be over at 6:30.
Have a good one, Greg.
As he hangs up abruptly. Take care, man. Thanks.
You too, man.
There he is, Greg Smith on Hail Varsity Radio. Great recruiting rundown, kind of around the feelings this weekend with the Friday Night Light camps going on. We have four, Teej?
Family four-pack VIP.
All right. More giveaways. Why not? Family four-pack right now for you. VIP. What day?
Sunday.
Do your big voice guy used car lot. Sunday.
There you go.
That was bad. Caller five?
Sure.
All right, let's do the old George Brett here. Caller five right now, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Caller five now. A four-pack VIP for you Sunday to Haymarket. See the Salt Dogs. They've won 11 in a row at home. They are golden. Beautiful. Caller 5 now, 800-825-5865, 466-3776. Family 4-pack, yours. Caller 5 now with Hale Varsity and ESPN.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and maybe soon, Deb the Spa Lady. I like talking to Deb. I miss talking to Deb. So that's what I'm waiting on right now, is... well, a patio, first of all, so I can have my smoker and my grill and my flat screen outside to watch football during the fall, and my hot tub. Deb with Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, makes that happen, because she's awesome. So we'll maybe get a thought from her on hot tubs or cool tubs. It is warm outside. You don't have to jump into boiling water. You can chill it out. So TJ efforts that. We're going to talk a little bit about 30 for 30. And that was another tremendous series by ESPN. I mean, I don't think anything will ever top the OJ Made in America. That is all time. I think the best that never was. Marcus Dupree hits a soft spot with me because of Nebraska and Oklahoma and how good Dupree could have been. Got caught up. But you have the Lakers-Celtics. And if you're a certain age, and I remember my older cousin, everybody loved the Lakers. My older cousin was from Omaha. And for Christmas, I remember it vividly. It was back in the day when you got the starter hats. And he's just like, starter. The starter hats, you could get a player's signature either on the bill or kind of like on the side. Mm-hmm. And he wanted a Larry Bird, and he wanted the Celtics.
Don't blame him.
No, I get it. But everybody else in Omaha and Lincoln growing up at that time was Laker, Laker, Laker. And I mean, like your dad or your grandfather was all Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a lot of fun to watch. And I've seen parts one and two, and I caught a bit of part three. But I remember Magic's swooping hook shot.
Sky hook, yep.
To end it in 87.
Mm-hmm. And then Bird had that shot that almost went in too.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just went out. And yeah, the Lakers won the next game in the series. My question for you is, because I remember when we talked about this a month ago with Kawhi Leonard sitting mm-hmm. out, I think you were a little, you wanted him to play. And I understand
that. I wanted him to give it a try.
But like, dude, Kevin McHale playing the NBA playoffs on a broken foot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... well, today, that just sounds so dumb. I mean, that's courageous and everything, but that's going to like shorten your career.
Here's the thing. Here is the bottom line difference between now and then. You have a little bit better long-term thinking.
For sure.
With today's athlete. There are things that are greater than the glory. There's other things than the game.
But don't you think the organization thinks the same way too? I mean, they want that player for as long as they can, healthy, right? Not just that season?
Depends on the organization.
Okay.
I honestly believe that.
Okay.
Is your organization old school or new school? Who's running it? What are your principles? But McHale playing on a broken foot, A, he's a blue-collar dude from Minnesota. So he probably grew up with hockey and basketball and playing with parts of his body that were broken.
Mm-hmm.
Just part of doing business. B, Boston demands you give it a shot. And he did that because he wanted the win. He cared that much for him, for his teammates, for the city. That's what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
And guys still do care, but probably not as much. It's just a different mindset now. And you're not going to risk long-term permanent damage, which is the right answer.
Yeah.
Which is the right answer, but not the popular or the common answer 30 years ago. It's just, it has just shifted.
I don't think I can get behind guys care less. I just think they're smarter. It's like, it's not smart to play in a broken foot.
Well, you're going with
multiple games.
Obviously.
Like,
but
I get
you're,
it for
you're going,
one, maybe.
You're
but.
Going with emotion and heart here.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking of the now. And that's, and that's what he's all about. And
yeah.
Mikhail's fine.
And speaking of broken foots, they got Bill Walton eventually, a guy who broke his foot many a times, and it was hilarious. The doctors weren't going to clear Bill Walton at all.
No, Bill won the sixth man of the year, wanted another ring. It was at the tail end of his career. I mean, there's no way he should have been playing in 86 as long and as much as he did. Yeah, it would have been interesting to see if L.A. could have avoided the Rockets' upset. I mean, that's a blemish. If you could have had just more matchups, I mean, more is better, right? Is that the thought? More is better. But what you got with L.A. was phenomenal. What you got with L.A. and what you got with Boston
yeah.
was great. It's too bad that Boston won it really early, okay? And then they kind of stumbled back, and Philly was good. And that's what I loved about the basketball in the Eastern Conference back then, is you had to go through. You had your rite of passage.
Mm-hmm.
And Boston had to go through Philly, and then people had to go through Boston. And that's Detroit, and that's Chicago going through Detroit. That meaning was massive. L.A. was incredible and worthy, and it wasn't their fault that the West was no good.
Yeah, the one year they lost in five to the two towers.
No, you did.
Samson
and
Olajuwon.
Right, you had Houston, but Houston, that was a miracle shot to knock them out.
Yeah, it was.
Half court, Ralph Sampson, eyes shut, off the glass.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do that again. So that kind of robbed you of the 86.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's not to the magnitude of Golden State getting Kevin Durant, but I mean, you already had Kareem, you already had Magic Johnson.
But they drafted and traded to get all those guys.
But yeah, but then they were able to get Michael Cooper too. And that was like, oh man, it's a pretty good player to add when you already got those guys.
That's tremendous. But what's awesome here is the Jedi mind trick that Auerbach did with getting rid of one of his stars
mm-hmm.
and getting the Chief. And then drafting McHale, and then picking Bird as a junior with a year to play, going out and getting Bill Walton at the end of his career when mm-hmm. he could barely run. I mean, he had the best mobility he's ever had in his life was 1986. Since then, it's been downhill,
yeah.
and he's had back fusion surgeries. But the Lakers also, I mean, it was nuts because they ended up with not only just Magic and the number one pick overall. But they still had Kareem, and Kareem won a Finals MVP. And they had James Worthy as the number one pick overall in the 82-83 draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Worthy was phenomenal from North Carolina.
Yeah,
I mean, for both those teams to have won championships but still get high, high picks, kind of like Boston this year in the draft, I mean, they were the number one seed.
Yep.
I mean, stuff like that hasn't happened. And for Bird to go from a 20-win squad to a 60-win team.
Yeah.
It was incredible. But that's, to me, that was my wheelhouse of what introduced me to the NBA, and that's when I fell in love with it. And then, of course, it built on Jordan following what the Lakers and Celtics did. It was incredible. It was fun to watch, and it's what made you love the NBA. And you were either a Magic or a Bird guy.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time on a Thursday, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Special going on from a subscription standpoint for Hail Varsity Magazine. That is an incredible Father's Day idea, as is the website subscription. Sign up for both. Do both. And can do so by logging on HailVarsity.com/subscribe or 855-3-HUSKER. Either way, make Dad happy. If you're a dad and you're betting on some socks or a brutal tie or something about eating healthy, just do it yourself. Make it happen. And I think that subscription special is just shy of $30. You can get it done shortly. You can get the yearbook as part of the subscription. And that thing ships out here shortly. Busy one today. We will catch up with Cedric Golden tomorrow. Austin American statesman. Supposed to have said on today we were preempted for a bit by Salt Dog Baseball. So Cedric tomorrow. Brandon Vogel was in hour two. Greg Smith of Gregeth and Smith, tremendous on the recruiting front earlier. And we talked some Lakers, Celtics, the best of enemies. That's an incredible title. So, and we got things rolling here with kind of our final five guys that you got to have at a maximum level next year for Nebraska. We combined offense, defense, special teams to come up with our final five. And a good banter about that. You can chew on that and join the Hail Varsity discussion on HailVarsity.com on the message boards. We've kind of taken it over there. So we're about out of time, but lock this in. We are going to give a smoker away tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour. We may involve Klausburn with it. I don't know yet. That would be... He would want something for that. We're not going to involve Klausburn with that. He's still angry about losing the spelling bee last week. But the Smokin' Hot Dad promotion, 2 weeks, comes to a close tomorrow. We will give you a chance to qualify. Gregeth and Smith, and of course with Hail Varsity tomorrow. Smokin' Hot Dad, a Southern County stainless steel electric smoker. We'll give it away in the 5 o'clock hour. That is important because it could end your Father's Day potential blues. And it's valued at just shy of $550. And Leon's is high-fiving you all the way along. The gourmet grocer is giving you a $250 gift card. Leon's is awesome. And they're also including spices, rubs, wood chips, wood planks, and a steak certificate as part of the Leon's gift basket. So not only do you get the gift basket and the gift card, but you get the smoker if you are lucky enough to have TJ Henning draw your name tomorrow. TJ takes no bribes, no special treatment, nothing.
It's all in the fingers.
It is. He's going to pick it out of that prize box. So don't show up in a white Brioni suit and ask him if he likes Louisville basketball to enhance or entice him in any way. TJ's not down. It's not how you recruit TJ. Just got to be caller 9. All right, thank you so much for tuning in. You miss us, take us with on the ESPN app or go to iTunes or HailVarsity.com for the podcast. See ya.